Joshua chapter 7, chapter 7. We're talking about Achan's bad choices. Mm-hmm. Most of you know who Achan was. He's the guy that took the clothes, the silver, and the wedge of gold. And I did a little bit of research on that wedge of gold and determined that it was probably worth about $25,000 in our worth of what gold is costing today. When you think of a wedge of gold, you might be thinking of this heavy block, maybe bigger than a stick of butter. They wasn't that big. It was actually only a matter of ounces. The wedge of gold could have probably been half the size of this little microphone right here. Or recorder. But regardless, it was probably valued around $25,000. And that was just the gold. That doesn't include the silver and the clothes. Anyway, so we all know who Achan was. He's the one that took all that stuff right after God said, don't take it.
Yeah.
Leave it there. It's accursed. We look at Achan like a terrible husband and daddy to cause all those bad things to happen to his family. Yet we've done the same thing many times. Mm. Here in Joshua chapter 7, we're going to read the first five verses. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Again, this is the chapter prior to this is when they conquered Jericho. Right. And God specifically told Joshua, now when you go in there, make sure and destroy everything, everybody, and then burn the city and do not take any of the spoil because it's all accursed. So here in chapter 7, that's immediately following that great victory. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shibareim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to stand here tonight and open your word. Lord, I do pray that you would guide my words. Lord, help me to relay your message accurately. Lord, your people are special. And Lord, we need a message from you. And it's important that we hear from your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd help us to take what you give us and to put it into action in our life. And I thank you for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Again, this happened immediately after the victory over Jericho. In fact, if you would turn back to chapter 6. In verse 17, you might be on that page already. The Bible says in verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, talking about Jericho, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So this city, Jericho, was accursed, and they were told not to take any of the spoil. And of course, all the men saw the stuff there.
Right.
It wasn't just Achan, but Achan looked at it and he thought, "Ooh, that'd help me pay off my tent. I can use that stuff. Why throw it away? Who knows what all was going on in his mind?" Remember when God told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites?
Yes.
He said, don't kill even their animals.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's breathing. And he did. Except for the best of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the king.
Mm-hmm.
Why he kept the king alive, I have no idea. I had never figured that out. But the reason they kept the sheep was because they were going to sacrifice them to God.
Mm-hmm.
What better thing could you do than that? Obey God.
Yeah.
That was the better thing.
Amen.
That was the best thing. So Saul was 98% obedient. And what happened to him?
Mm.
God took his kingdom. He took his peace. Right?
Right.
We all know what happened to Achan. And even before that happened to Achan, what happened to his brothers? 36 of them died in the war against Ai. What happened to their wives and children? They became fatherless and husbandless. It was a bad situation. Many people suffered because of Achan's choices.
That's
but
right.
I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 7, again, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass." Why didn't it say that Achan committed a trespass? At the end of that same verse, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Achan."
No,
it says the children of Israel.
Right.
That tells us something. That's saying is that the private sins that you and I choose to commit are going to affect those in our circle, namely our family, those that we love the most.
Mm.
This sin that Achan committed, he didn't have him a flare up where he just all of a sudden started screaming and cussing. And this was a private sin.
Mm.
Nobody knew it. Except God.
Mm.
He knows about those private sins that we commit. You're not an island to yourself. The choices that you make will affect those around you. If Satan can't convince you that it's not sin, then his next move is to convince you that making that bad choice will only affect you.
Right.
So what could Achan have done differently?
Mm.
I think this is important. You may have made decisions before. I would think that you have. I certainly have. That affected my family in a bad way. But we still have tomorrow. I heard a guy say one time, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." We have made bad choices before. And some of those choices have affected our families in difficult ways. They've suffered because of the choices that I've made, maybe the choices that you've made. But the good thing is today we can start over.
Amen.
So what could Achan have done differently if he had that opportunity? Of course, he could have not stolen that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it goes farther back than that. Remember last week we were talking about, anybody remember the word?
Covetousness.
Covetousness, right? Achan, the Bible says that when Joshua cornered him, Achan says, well, I was looking at it and I coveted it. Then I took it. So his first sin was looking at it, and not just looking at it, but coveting it.
Mm.
He desired something that he shouldn't have. By the way, he did that silently and privately.
Mm.
He probably wasn't talking to his buddies about it and say, man, why don't we take some of that? This was a private thing. That's what covetousness is.
Mm.
We can commit that right here, right in the middle of the preaching if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
With your Bible in your lap. So, Achan stealing the things was a bad deal. But what started it was coveting.
Mm.
Coveting is being dissatisfied with what God has already given you. This is important for us to think about, because I just have to admit to you, I covet sometimes. And I don't say that proudly and gladly. I'm embarrassed to say that. It's a sin. But it has so many facets.
Yeah.
God in the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. I think he named like five different things. But that's just a small list of things and ways to covet. We can covet a different circumstance that we have.
Mm.
We can be dissatisfied with our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
As though God must have turned his head and forgot about us or something. Yes, ma'am?
What a different circumstance, or it's not coveting when you can not like the circumstance that you're in. That's not coveting.
No, coveting is wishing for a different circumstance is one thing. There's two different ways of seeing this, okay? For instance, when I was at Camp Tracy, my wife and I, we kept my mother. She lived with us for 2 years. After my dad passed away, she couldn't live with herself by herself. So she came to live with us for a couple of years, and she was in the early stages of dementia. And I remember one night, it was difficult. It was more difficult for Jeanette than it was for me. She was my mother. But she stayed with Jeanette more hours out of the day than she did with me. And Jeanette did an excellent job of taking care of her, but it was difficult because she was entering in the first stages of dementia. But I remember walking one night I had just taken the boys home after church and got them inside the building and all that, and was headed back out and was headed to the van. And I had been in there talking to one of the boys and trying to help him to understand that he needed to be content with his circumstances. He needed to be content, even though he was at Camp Tracy. He wasn't at home in the comforts of his family. He was in this place that he didn't know anybody, and it was difficult. And I remember telling him, you just need to be content. This is God's plan for you. This is God's lot for you. Then I walked out the back door and I was headed to the van, and then I see my mother sitting there in the van. And I knew that it was going to be difficult to help her get out of the van. It was going to be difficult when we went to eat supper that night because she wanted to eat chips instead of food. And just one thing after the other, and it was a repetitive thing every time, and it was almost like in my spirit, my shoulders just dropped. And then I remembered what I told that boy.
Yeah.
You just need to be content.
Mm.
This is your lot. This is what God has given you. Even the problems.
Yeah.
Yes, it's our nature to try to fix our problems.
Yeah.
In fact, we should.
Amen.
But when we can't, and we've done everything we could, and like Paul, and we've prayed and said, God, please remove this thorn. He says, no, you need that. Some things we can change,
yeah,
and some things we can't. And those things that we can't, we shouldn't be aggravated about it, and mad, and blame other people, and especially not blame God. But be content.
Yes.
I don't know Achan's circumstances. I don't know if he was one of the lesser wealthy people in Israel. I don't know if he had financial obligations he was having trouble meeting. I don't know if he had some physical issues he was having. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm sure he had some problems.
Mm.
Who doesn't?
Right.
But whatever his lot was, he wasn't satisfied with it.
Mm.
And felt like life would be better if I had in my hands those clothes, that silver, and that gold.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where it started. That was his problem.
Mm.
Had he been content with what God had given him, he wouldn't have been as strongly tempted to covet that stuff.
Right.
That's where it begins. Mm. The arguments that you and I get into with whoever we get into these arguments with, if we could be content with what God's blessed us with and the circumstances that God has put us in, we wouldn't be so apt to complain because it ain't their fault.
Mm.
This is the lot that God has given me.
Mm.
I need to be thankful for what God has put me in, even the problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I are unthankful or dissatisfied with our present circumstances, we are an open target for Satan's fiery darts.
Mm. Amen.
Remember, coveting is the beginning of everything else. It was the beginning of Satan's demise and why he had to be kicked out of heaven. Because he coveted God's position, his
yeah.
power, and his glory.
Right.
It was the beginning of Eve's mistake of eating the fruit because she first coveted that fruit.
Right.
I may be wrong, but I would like to think and say this, that every sin that you and I ever commit begun with this problem.
Mm.
Achan's problem did too. It wasn't that he was a thief. I mean, he was. But it started because he first coveted.
Yeah.
You can't be coveting and thankful at the same time.
Mm.
So if you're having a problem coveting, it's probably because you're having a problem not being thankful.
Mm.
That's why I like to give all of us an opportunity on Sunday nights to just think about what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Brother Tommy mentioned this morning about, you know, talking with some married couple. I don't know who he was talking about. Maybe it was just a random idea that he was thinking about. But it does happen to all of us. But he asked I think it was a spouse said, "Yeah, my." He said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "Well, my husband does this, 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 and he won't do this and this, this, and this." And he said, "Well, what's your problem? What have you added to this relationship that's causing an issue?" "I don't know. What was the problem?" Her problem was she was so focused on his problem that she couldn't see her problem.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't thankful. And the same thing's happened with us as husbands.
Yeah.
Anytime that we get on a rant of thinking, "My goodness, why don't she do this? Why don't she do that? Why don't she quit doing this? Why don't she..." Life would be so much better if she would just... Right? During that time, we're being unthankful.
Mm.
We're coveting something we shouldn't be coveting. That makes us an open target for Satan and his fiery darts.
Amen.
You might not have made that bad choice yet, but you're at the door if you're coveting and you're not thankful and content. When we become unthankful and discontented, we are at the door of making a bad choice that's going to cause some repercussions that we may never get over, and our family won't either. So what could have Achan done differently? He could have learned the lesson of being thankful and content.
Yes.
Instead of the opposite. Because that is what led him to steal that stuff. That's what leads you and I to say the things that we ought not to say to those people. Whether it be our family member or that person at work. Just the other day, I had a bad attitude with a lady on the phone, and Jeanette heard the conversation, and once again the Holy Spirit spake to me through Jeanette's voice, and I said, "Yeah, you're right. I need to apologize to her." And I did. In fact, I went there to their office and spoke to her face to face, and of course she was kind. "Oh, that's okay. It's, you know, stuff happens like that." And I said, "You're right, but I shouldn't have said what I said. It was wrong. And I'm sorry."
That's good.
And she was, like I said, she was very good and very kind about it. But the reason I said those things was because I wasn't thankful. I wasn't content with my circumstances. Something was going on here that I felt like shouldn't be happening. Maybe they were messing up. Maybe they were making bad choices. Maybe they were doing something they shouldn't have been doing, but God was allowing it to happen to me. As a test. I failed that test. I was at the door of making a bad choice because I wasn't thankful and I wasn't content. So all I'm saying is, if you don't want to make the same kind of choices that Achan made and see the same kind of fallout that happened, remain thankful and content. And by the way, you got to do that deliberately. It doesn't come natural. What comes natural is what we're already doing, and that is to be complaining and wishing that they would change and wishing they would do this and stop doing that. And people need to get out of my way when I'm driving down the road. And, You know, all that stuff. That's our nature. If we're going to be thankful and content, we have to do it on purpose.
Mm.
And if we want to do something like that on purpose, especially if we've been in the habit of doing the other, then we need to write it down on something.
Mm-hmm.
I joke a lot about writing something on your forehead, but I can promise you this, if you did, I do think you would not forget it.
Mm.
Oh, but at least write it on paper.
Yeah, amen.
Put it on your reminder. Yes, ma'am.
I came across the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Mm-hmm. And that does require wisdom.
Amen.
Paul couldn't change the thorn in his side.
Mm.
You may have a thorn. You may have four or five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things you can change. And when you've tried, and you've prayed, and it's still there, thank God for it. Just like Paul did. You're going to have to be deliberate about being thankful and content if you don't want to be an open target to Satan. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for blessing us tonight. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I do pray that you would forgive us for being discontented with what you've blessed us with. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to deliberately, on purpose, be thankful and content for the things you've blessed us with. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand.